right, welcome everybody to Blake and Greg's ACC-SEC Wrap-Up Podcast. My name's Greg.
I'm Blake.
And Blake, before we get started this week with the ACC recap, we do need to throw something out to the fans. You know, we got AdaptText has come to us. They want to give away a few more downloads of their college-themed keyboards for Android devices. So we got to do that. We got to give a few of those away. And, you know, Blake, actually, they gave me one, which I thought was pretty nice. And
I'm glad for you.
Yeah, and see, listeners.
Now, what team did you pick?
I picked
Maryland.
Deacons. I picked the Deacons.
Of course,
I picked Clemson. But listeners, just so you know, Blake unfortunately can't use it. It is for Android devices only. And Blake, he is a Steve Jobs lover, so he has the iPhone.
Man, me and him were tight.
You were tight. I know how much you admired him. But anyway, but I gotta tell you, Blake, actually, if you have an Android device, I prefer this keyboard, not only because of the theme, but I like the way it works better than the one that came with my phone. I have the Samsung Galaxy, and I prefer the AdaptText keyboard to the one that came on the phone anyway. So I actually like it a lot better. So incidentally, it's also Clemson themed. It's got Clemson terminology and stuff preloaded into the dictionary, preloaded into the vocabulary. Of course, listeners, you'd be able to pick your own team, and there's 30, 31 teams or so to choose from. But we'd like to give a few of those away. So, Blake, what's the question we're going to throw out to the listeners this week?
Well, I'm a little bit jealous that I can't have my keyboard.
Yeah, I know.
I have to listen to you talk about it.
I'm a little bit bummed about it.
But
I hope they're working on one.
Right. Jobs, yeah. Okay, anyway. The question this week was, and I want to get a lot of listener feedback. You get your free app, and feedback's fun anyway. It's fun to do it. So if you're, whoever your team is, if you could take one player on offense and one player on defense from an opposing team in your conference, which is the ACC, who would you take? Let's say you're a Wake Forest fan and you say, I like the way that Jameis Winston plays at Florida State quarterback, or I like the way that on defense, I like the way Vic Beasley plays at Clemson. If you could take one player off, for offense and defense off an opposing team, who would it be?
Yeah, I like that question. Almost as if, let's pretend it's the pros almost, and you can, trade or you can sign free agents from other teams, that have been released from other teams or whatever. If you could pull a trade or if you could pull a player off another team, who would it be on offense and on defense? And that's from somebody else in your conference, from somebody else in the ACC. I like that question. I think we're going to get some interesting results. Answers for that. And listeners, just so you know, send us your answer to this question. Who would you pick on offense and defense from an opposing team? Could be two different teams, players that you pick. Who would you pick from another team in the ACC to put on your roster? Send us those responses to blakeandgreg@yahoo.com. We'll send you a free app. If you send us a response, we like it. We'll send you a free app for AdaptText college-themed keyboard, perfect for this time of year. And like I said, Blake, I really do like it better than the keyboard that came on my phone. So
good. That's awesome.
Yeah, normally I think they go for $2.99 through the Google Play Store. So if you don't feel like sending us a response, you'd rather just buy it. I guess you could do that if you wanted to. But we've got a few to give away for free. So we appreciate any and all responses. And if you got any questions, comments, complaints, funny stories, as the case may be, that's fine. Send it in. Anything you think we might be able to use. All right, Blake. Well, let's get started. Let's talk about this past week. Let's start with, typically the boring game of the week is the Virginia Tech game.
Virginia
Tech did bore Pitt to death 19-9. And, Blake, we give Virginia Tech a hard time. But actually, here they are, 6-1. 3-0 in conference.
Yeah, and the one loss was to the top team in the country.
Yeah, the best team in the country. I think most people would agree. And I want to run a couple of things by you because there are a few interesting things about, not necessarily about this game in particular, but about Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas was 19-34, 239 yards, one touchdown, no picks. That's
pretty good for him.
That's pretty solid. And so I went back and looked at his stats throughout the year so far. And I'll just give you his quarterback ratings throughout each of the, seven games that they played. So against Bama, he had a 30.6 rating. But that's against Bama, right?
Yeah.
You can kind of let that slide. Against Western Carolina, 106.8. Not bad, but it's Western Carolina. Against East Carolina, 119.2. Okay, but it's East Carolina. Against Marshall, 95.6. All right, so the last three games, he had decent quarterback ratings, but they were against not-so-good opponents, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so the last three games, all in conference, Against Georgia Tech, his quarterback rating was 163.5. Against North Carolina, his quarterback rating was 191.1. And against Pitt, just this past week, his quarterback rating was 124.6. So considering the opposition, considering the defenses he's faced, he is by far playing his best football in the past three games.
Yeah, he's showing improvement.
And we made fun of him, and then here he is. Maybe he's a listener, and maybe he used this as motivation to kind of, you know,
that's
just crap.
Quite possible.
I think so.
Yeah, if you are Logan, we apologize for dissing you earlier, but at the same time, I think the diss was well deserved, though. By the way,
yeah, it was.
But I mean, because we've been waiting on Logan Thomas's whole career to come around. I mean, because remember a couple of years ago, he was touted as kind of the next Cam Newton, that kind of player, you know, dynamic runner with a big arm, and he has not lived up to anything close to what Cam did the 1 year he was at Auburn. So we just kind of dismissed him, and now all of a sudden he looks like he may be – maybe he's playing for the draft to come up this April. I don't know, but whatever he's doing, he's improving, and the team's improving, and the team is a legit threat to win the Coastal Division.
Oh yeah, I would say so. I mean, essentially they control their own destiny.
They do. They sure do.
Well, them and Miami.
But they'll play each other. So
yeah, they will. Logan Thomas. I mean, he's not putting up Johnny Manziel numbers or anything like that. But at the same time, he's doing enough. He's putting up solid numbers, and with the defense Virginia Tech has,
exactly,
they're a tough team to beat.
He doesn't have to be Cam Newton. He doesn't have to be Johnny Manziel. He just has to be steady and consistent and reliable, and they can win a lot of games like that with that defense. So
right,
he's playing very well right now. What can we say?
Yeah, and if he plays like he did against Bama, he was 5 for 26 for 59 yards and one pick. They'll lose some games if he plays like that. But if he plays like he did against Pitt or UNC or Georgia Tech, they can win most of those games, I think, because of how strong the defense is.
I absolutely agree with that. Absolutely.
So here's Virginia Tech 6-1. It's kind of like what we started talking about, Blake, where – you know, earlier in the season we said, watch out for Virginia Tech because they'll win games ugly, but they still somehow find ways to win games. That's kind of what we're seeing. Typical Virginia Tech.
You know, and we're still waiting for Beamer Ball.
We're still waiting for Beamer Ball.
If they can get a little bit of Beamer Ball mixed in here, man, they could very well be playing in Charlotte come December.
Yeah, and depending on, and if they can get Beamer Ball going, they'd be a tough team to beat. Good defense and good special teams and just an average offense is still very tough to beat.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about Duke beating up on Navy. Duke was a 3-point favorite in this game, Blake, and they won 35-7. Neither of us bought the 3 points, and we both – I said 35-28, you said 34-28. So we were right on how much we thought Duke was going to do. But we didn't know Duke had this defensive prowess that they apparently do.
Go figure that.
Yeah, so I did read something interesting.
Don't tell Pitt that they have that defensive prowess.
That's true. I did read something interesting. I guess Duke's quarterback, this kid Boone, he was hurt, and actually he found out 10 minutes before the game started that he was going to start. And anyway, he came in, Blake, went 31 for 38, 295 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. So, must not have been too
That's
hard.
That's the product of a great offensive scheme and a good coach.
Yep, David Cutcliffe.
Yep.
You know he's got a knack for quarterbacks when Peyton Manning spends his offseason in Durham hanging out with David Cutcliffe.
And I think Eli does as well, at least. Not the whole offseason, but he spends some time there too because he coached Eli at Ole Miss too.
Yeah,
that's
right.
So
that's right.
The Manning boys really we learned a lot from Cutcliffe, and I think, well, this year maybe not so much Eli, but –
yeah, Eli might need to give old Cutcliffe
a call. He may need to go back and spend the summer there next year.
But anyway, so Duke pulls out the win, and we'll talk about a little bit more about Duke when we get to the predictions because they have an interesting matchup this week. Let's move on to Maryland. Maryland stole this one from Virginia, 27-26. I don't know if you watched this. Did you watch this?
No, I did not. That was on, I think it was a night game.
Yeah, it was. It was
the same time that Clemson played Boston College, but there was another game on at the same time. I didn't watch it.
Right, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did watch the very end, Blake. And I was surprised just to see what the score was, 27-26. Maryland was a 7.5-point favorite, and neither one of us bought it. And then here they squeaked by Virginia by 1 point. But Blake, Virginia had a chance to win this game. They missed a very makeable 42-yard field goal with like 10 seconds left in the game.
Oh, really?
Missed it.
That.
Yeah, so they had a very good chance to win this game. Now, I'm not trying to rub anything back in your face, Blake, but this is not the same team that we saw a few weeks ago that you were still chiming about the Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Well, No, it's not. But I don't think CJ Brown's healthy yet, is he?
He will be back this week, I read. So
okay, he is the straw that stirs the drink, eh? I mean, we know that he is a dual threat quarterback. He has weapons, you know, running back, a wide receiver. He can run, he can throw. But also, I should have expected a little hangover from what happened last week, you know, the Florida State. You got to expect a little bit of that, and I didn't because I'm kind of biased because I picked Maryland and didn't do so well, and I didn't really, yeah. You know what I mean? I didn't really. I guess I got, you know, my ego got in the way of my logic because I should have expected some sort of letdown. But they got the win, and they get Brown back next week, which is big time for them because they need him next week.
Oh, yes, they do.
So I still say this is a good football team. I'm not selling Maryland yet. You may be. I'm not yet.
Yeah, it depends. I think I will make a definitive decision about Maryland after this week. We see when Brown comes back, we'll see how well Maryland does. And if I still see that same spark like I saw at the beginning of the season, I'm going to still be on board, but I might have to sell if they stall out, this week. But we'll talk about that later on. Let's move on to a team that Blake, actually, I have sold. Syracuse beat NC State 24-10.
In Raleigh, right?
Yes, this was in Raleigh. And I don't know if you were as surprised by this as I was. State was a 6.5-point favorite, and we both picked them to cover that. But here they are, Blake. State, I think State's, what, they got 3 wins? I think they're 3-3, and they're 0-3 in the ACC.
Yeah, they won their first 3, I think, against kind of cream puff non-conference kind of teams and got in league play and have really been – they played well against Clemson, and since then they haven't. So, they have issues at quarterback. Look, if you're State and you score 10 points against Syracuse, you got problems on offense. Because Syracuse is, I mean, their offense, they have a quarterback who can run. And they have a good running game, but they cannot throw the ball. They're very one-dimensional. And, and of course, State, heck, defensively, State didn't do that bad. But on offense, Syracuse's, their defensive backs are not good. Clemson just abused – well, you know, Clemson's a good team, but they really abuse their DBs in State. But I think that has to do with the quarterback play. I just don't think Pete Thomas is the answer. I hope they get the other guy back soon because this Thomas kid just is not a Division I quarterback. And I think I've sold him too, Greg. I just don't see State doing much more than winning maybe one more game.
Well, I absolutely agree because I'm going to go ahead and say it, Blake. State is not going to a bowl this year. I just don't see how they could do it because they still have to get 3 more wins or maybe 4 depending on the teams that they played. I'm not sure. But let's say they only have to get three more wins. All right, so their next opponents, Blake, luckily they get a bye week this week, which is likely due to the State Fair coming to Raleigh. I don't know if you're aware of that. That's this weekend. But anyway, they get a bye week this week. Next week they go to Florida State. That's a loss.
Oh, yeah.
They host North Carolina the week after that. It could go either way.
That'd be key to them turning the season around.
Absolutely. The next week they go to Wallace Wade and face Duke. That's winnable, but that's only 2 so far that's winnable. Then they go to Boston College,
That's going to be tough.
That's going to be tough. Then they host ECU. Well, we saw what ECU did to UNC.
That's going to be tough.
And then they host Maryland.
That's going to be tough. They may not win one more game.
I think they'll win one between North Carolina, Duke, and let's say Boston College. I think they'll probably win one of those. I don't know which one it'll be.
I'd be surprised, Greg, if they win more than one.
Yeah, I think this team might end up 4-8, and that's kind of sad because State's got two good – you know, and we did call this at the beginning of the season. We said that they were going to take a step back. You lose Glennon, who's now starting at Tampa Bay. You lose your coach. You know, new system, new people. Mm-hmm. It's always tough that first year. But I don't know, Blake. When you lose to Wake and you lose to Syracuse, I mean, this was Syracuse's first.
It really, they weren't even close. I mean, they lost to Wake by 14 as well.
Yeah, it was. And this was Syracuse's first road ACC game. And they come out of Raleigh with a win. That's kind of embarrassing.
It is.
So poor State. I feel bad for State. As you know, I've got a soft spot for NC State. I do feel bad for them. And as much as we may have predicted this, it's still kind of hard to watch the train wreck.
Yes, it is. But first year coach, new quarterback. Well, your guy you had got hurt.
Yeah.
So it's a backup transfer from Colorado State. you know, it just wasn't, it just didn't look good when that happened, when they had that injury at the quarterback position. I think Doran's a good coach, but I think he needs time to get his players in the, you know, in the system, because his system and, you know, what Tom O'Brien ran are completely different. So
totally different. Yeah.
His players in, now I think defensively O'Brien left them in pretty good shape.
I think he did too.
But, you know, on offense, it's just not happening for them. This is going to be a rough year for them.
Yeah, I agree. You know, like we said, 4-8, 5-7 will be best case scenario, I think, based on who they have left to play.
Me too.
They had to get those wins against Wake and Syracuse. They just had to get those, and they didn't even come close to neither one. So it's really discouraging. Yeah. But
it is.
Let's talk about Clemson. Let's talk about Clemson Boston College. I'm sure you watched this game.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I watched the whole thing. Clemson did end up winning by 10 points, 24-14. The spread was 25, and we both picked them to cover the spread. So not even close to covering the spread.
Yeah.
What were your impressions of this game? I
think I picked BC to cover.
Actually, you did. You did.
Barely.
I stand corrected, but you
by
did. By a smidgen, yeah.
Yeah, I was off. Well, I was way off anyway. I mean, the game was a different – I mean – yeah, I guess I took a few things from this game. The first thing I noticed was it's easy to see this. Athletically, Clemson is vastly superior to NC State. You can see that when on the field.
You mean Boston College?
Boston, sorry. What did I say? NC State?
Yeah, but that was true
to them, too.
Yeah.
But, athletic talent on the field was big time in favor of Clemson over BC. I mean, big time. But the one thing I'll say about BC is in this game, I noticed defensively. BC, the guys may not be athletic, but they're where they're supposed to be, and they hit you.
They do. It was a hard-hitting game.
And they don't miss tackles, but you can get around them. But if you don't get around them, they're not going to, you know, let you go. They're going to whiff on tackles in, you know, either on a wrap-up and play the right way. And I think Clemson wasn't, you know, they're expecting more missed tackles, because, you know, teams they play most of the time are going to have, you know, missed tackles here. They throw the screen passes, and they expect guys to get, and you make a guy miss and get an extra 10 yards. This game, it didn't happen. So they had to – I think they were shaking a little bit. Plus, BC brought some creative blitzes. They didn't sack Boyd, but they got in his face a little bit and rattled him.
No, you're right. From somewhere else.
An extra man from somewhere on the field. Whether it's corner, safety, linebacker, there's an extra man coming on every play pretty much.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, your quarterback is – you get a little shaken up. Boyd was shaken up. But at the same time, Clemson's defense – on offense, BC has two guys who can play, the wide receiver, number 83, and the running back, Williams.
Yeah, and they both have one big play.
That's it. I mean, that's all they have. Their quarterback is very unathletic. And against Clemson's defense, if you're a quarterback, if you have one wide receiver, if you cover him and you can kind of pin your ears back, it's going to be a long day. And they struggled offensively. They had one long TD on a pass, on a play fake pass, which – you know, as a freshman safety, and he didn't play it right, but that's to be expected. I mean, he's playing a good receiver, you know. And actually, the score on the running play, the long touchdown run on the running play, was an actually really good call. I like the call. So
no, I liked it too.
I mean, look, Clemson gave up 14 points. That's about all, you know, BC did all game. I mean, their defense played fantastic. And on offense, Clemson, yeah, they didn't play their best game, but they did enough to win. Made a big play on defense up 17-14 to ice that game.
Of course.
Which the quarterback was rolling left. He tries to throw it away, and I think the ball slipped out of his hands or something.
Yeah.
Man. They think, you know, Clemson's walking in, and it's over because BC's not scoring 10 points. You know,
no,
they're just not doing it. So.
No. And that was the fourth. That was like 9 minutes left.
Yeah.
Or so in the fourth quarter.
Plus, Clemson was shaky on offense. Had some turnovers. Had a missed field goal. And
right.
You know, you wonder if looking ahead to Florida State had something. I think you naturally do a little bit when you're 20 year old kids. You do that. So
yeah.
Look, they got a win. They survived and advanced, and they got a big one this weekend. So I give Clemson credit for surviving, and BC credit for playing tough. So that's the way I saw it.
I took away a lot of the same things that you did. And, Blake, it was funny because it's kind of like what we always say about Clemson. You can tell a lot about what Clemson's going to do in that game based on the first couple of drives.
Yeah.
And even if Clemson doesn't necessarily score, if they move the ball down the field, if it looks like they're getting in rhythm, it's probably going to be a long day for whoever the other team is. And in this case, their first couple of drives, you know, kind of stalled out. They went down, missed the field goal, and I think that kind of got them out of rhythm. Not only that, there were a couple of fumbles here and there that Clemson ended up recovering, but at the same time, they never could get in that rhythm that we talk about that's so important for Clemson. And not only that, Blake, it's like you said, Boston College was to their credit, they were bringing pressure almost every down from somewhere else on the field, and I think that got to Taj Boyd. I don't think he ever really found his groove because of that. He never really knew where the pressure was coming from, and I think he got in his head that there was always going to be pressure, so he never really felt comfortable. And they got to him a couple times, you know, and I'm watching this and I'm thinking, God, here's Florida State with a week off. You know, they're watching this. So they're gonna, you know, they're gonna do a lot of the same things that were successful with Boston College. So there was that. And also the one thing on defense, Blake, I did notice Boston College didn't take advantage of this as often as they should have, but Clemson bites a lot on play action and pretty hard too.
But I'll say this too, Greg. If you're Clemson, you're playing BC, they got the leading rusher in the country on the other side.
True.
Give them a pass a little bit because BC doesn't have any weapons. That's their major weapon. And I think Clemson's thinking, okay, you got beats for somebody else. In the end, they didn't. So, I mean, I understand how they get the one pass play to, Amadon, or what's his name?
Yeah, something like that.
Which he's a good receiver. But, you know, it was the one play they gave up, and that's pretty much it. I mean, and they do bite on play action pass, but like I said, it's because, he'd have a scrub back there taking the football. Somebody who's a very good player. So I give him a pass on that a little bit.
Fair enough. But I do think as far as this weekend goes, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, as far as this weekend goes, it'll be interesting to see what Clemson does in the first couple of drives. And I think we'll know a lot about how the game's going to go based on the first couple of drives. If you remember last year in Tallahassee, Clemson came out and scored pretty easily on the first few drives, and it was back and forth all game until basically the fourth quarter when E.J. Manuel started playing out of his mind. But we'll see a lot when this weekend comes around, and we'll talk about that in the next segment, of course.
I'll say this, too, though. Clemson played pretty vanilla against BC on offense, so I think there'll be a lot more. Chad Morris is a very smart guy, and he – I think against Florida State, and I hate even talk about this game, but he'll change some things up, you know, for that game. So I feel pretty certain of that.
You think he'll open the playbook?
Yeah, as wide as he can open it.
Yeah, I think so too. speaking of creativity, and this is a little bit off topic, but did you watch the Panthers game on Sunday?
No, I had to work. Well, I had to work, so I missed it.
Well, there was one play that everybody is talking about, and I watched it, and I kind of thought what everybody else thought, that it was a broken play or just improvising, but no, it was actually apparently that was the way it was drawn up. Blake, it was a flea flicker tight end screen. You ever seen that done before?
No,
I've never heard about it done before. But yeah, flea flicker tight end screen, and it worked, and it only worked for 12 yards or something. But how creative that was, and how seamlessly the Panthers made it work, I thought was really impressive. But anyway,
was it Greg Olsen? Is that who called it?
Yes.
He catches all the tight end passes, I guess, for the Panthers.
Yeah,
he's a player. But anyway, I didn't see it. I'm going to have to look up that on YouTube or something and try to find it.
Yeah, but, anytime a team runs a flea flicker, I always like it. And then when they add a little extra wrinkle in it, like making it a screen pass, I thought that was interesting too. But anyway, we don't want to get too off subject. Let's talk about how about BYU beating up on Georgia Tech 38-10. Now, we both did pick BYU straight up, it looks like you picked it as a push. Or no, you picked
I picked Georgia Tech to cover.
I picked Tech in the points as well, so we're a little off about this. Neither team could stop each other in this. I don't know if you looked at the stats. Both teams had over 400 yards offense, so it was just back and forth. But Georgia Tech ended up having two turnovers, and BYU didn't have any. So that ended up being, I guess, the deciding factor in this game. But it's funny, Blake, every time I think I figured out Georgia Tech, they do the opposite of what I think they're going to do.
Me too.
And now I look like an idiot because 3 weeks ago I said Georgia Tech should be ranked, and they've lost three straight weeks. So now I look very stupid.
I think we go a lot of times too on pass. You know Georgia Tech, you think, you know what, they're going to be able to run the triple option like they always have, and their defense should be better. That's what you think, you know. But what I think the case this year is their offense is not as good as it has been. They don't run the triple option. Now they can throw a little better. They don't run that triple option like they have in the past. This guy they got, Vadley, is not the same as Josh Nesbitt or even Tevin Washington running that offense. So.
And it's funny because going into the season, everybody was like, we got a quarterback who can throw the ball too, so that's going to add an extra dimension. But they're not as good running the actual triple option.
No, and that offense is not easy to run too.
It
takes skill. Being kind of a magician with the pitch, things like that. And this guy is not the same as Nesbitt or even, Tevin Washington. So that's hurting them there. So their offense is not as good. And, defensively, they may be a little better, but they're still not very good there either. So, We're wrong on that one, brother.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Georgia Tech the rest of the season. And speaking of this weekend, let's take a little break. We'll come back. We'll do predictions. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right. And we're back. Blake and Greg's ACC SEC weekly wrap up. Blake, let's talk predictions for this week.
All right.
First of all, let's talk about the Thursday night game. I always love the ACC Thursday night games. I don't know. There's something about them. They're usually interesting matchups.
Yeah,
This week we got Miami, who, like we said, undefeated, controls their own destiny in the Coastal, along with Virginia Tech, but they'll play in a couple weeks, so that'll be decided there. But going to North Carolina, which is a team that's underperformed a little bit, I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
Going to Chapel Hill on a Thursday night, Miami is a 9-point favorite. How do you see this game shaping up?
You know, Miami's an interesting team. You know, nobody's really talking about Miami. You know, it's all Clemson, Florida State. But Miami's a team that they're ranked, I think, 10th now?
Yeah, the ACC's got three teams in the top 10, which I don't know when the last time that happened.
That's been a long time. But Miami's ranked 10th. They're sitting there at 10th. Are they as good as Clemson and Florida State? You know, I think, you know, we say maybe they're a tad under them, you know. But at the same time, they're still 10th. They have an impressive out-of-conference win against Florida. So you got to give them credit for that. And they're undefeated, and they're going to UNC. I think, semi-tough to play there. But the UNC crowds typically hasn't been as good as other places for whatever reason.
Yeah, for this year, I haven't seen them fill the stadium yet, I don't think.
And they won't tomorrow night either.
I hope they get good. You know, even if they don't fill it up, I hope they do have a good showing. But for a Thursday night game, it looks kind of pitiful anytime you see a team host a Thursday night game and they can't fill the stadium. It's kind of pitiful looking.
Yeah, it is pitiful. It is pitiful. But hopefully they will, you know, surprise us both. But I don't think they will. I'm waiting to see UNC play that complete game this year. They haven't done that yet. I mean, defensively, they're just not very good. Offensively, they got some talent there, but they got to play more consistent. I don't know if Renner's healthy or not. Do you?
No, I don't.
Now, they had an off week last week, so they have a little more, you know, preparation time for this game, so that may give them an edge here. But until they show me differently, I got to take Miami.
Yeah.
So I like Miami 42-27.
Okay, so you like Miami to cover that.
Yeah. As of right now, I mean, I love to say differently, but I got to go with what I've seen. So
I agree. I'm the same mindset as you. 9 points is an awful lot, honestly, for you know, league competition. Typically, it is, but mm-hmm. I haven't really seen anything from North Carolina yet this year that would make me excited about them. You know, last year they had flashes of showing something that it could be really special, and this year I just haven't seen anything. Their defense is pretty bad. Their offense can't seem to get in rhythm, can't seem to find their groove. And Miami is a very mysterious team to me. I don't know how they've pulled out the wins that they've pulled out, but they're doing it. They're winning games.
Yeah.
I think they'll win this one fairly easily. Give me Miami to cover that. I like them a little bit lower scoring than you, but at the same time, still an easy win for them, 31-17.
Okay.
All right, how about Syracuse going to Georgia Tech? Syracuse is their second road ACC game ever. They're already 1-0 as far as road ACC games go, based on last week's win over NC State, like we talked about. Georgia Tech's 7.5-point favorite. What do you think here?
Well, it's at home. I mean, Georgia Tech's been three straight losses. It won't be four. I like Tech to win this game. Get back on the winning side of things. I mean, Syracuse, I don't know much about them yet. I mean, I think they got major deficiencies in some places, but they have – some weapons on offense, but give me Georgia Tech 38-27.
Yeah, I like Georgia Tech to win this, but actually, Blake, I like Syracuse in the points.
Okay.
And again, every time I predict something with Georgia Tech, it's the opposite. So who knows? Georgia Tech will probably win this like 65-3 or something. But I'm going to pick Georgia Tech in a little bit closer game. It's still going to be fairly comfortable, but I do like those 7.5 points. Give me Georgia Tech 28-21.
All right.
What about Maryland and Wake? Two teams that are both somewhat reeling, although Wake did have that win over NC State a couple weeks ago. But
yeah.
Maryland's going to Wake to Grove Stadium, and they're a 6-point favorite. And like we said in the last segment, C.J. Brown is playing. What do you think?
Yeah, see, that actually changes my prediction. I was going to pick Wake to cover, but I like Maryland to actually – I mean, yeah, I like Maryland to, you know, cover and win this game. I'm going to take Maryland 34-23. You know, C.J. Brown back just makes it more dynamic. And I think they'll play a lot better than they have the last 2 weeks. So give me Maryland 34-23.
All right. Actually, I like Maryland. I agree with you. I think Maryland's going to cover that 6 points. Give me Maryland. I said 34-17. So
okay.
We both agree they will score 34 points. All right. What about Duke going to Virginia? This is probably this is one of the more competitive games in the ACC this week. The spread's only 2.5. And honestly, it'll probably be a pretty interesting game to watch.
Yeah, I think it will be too.
What do you think?
Well, it's that – you know, Virginia, and they, I don't know, their home field hadn't been that great of an advantage for them.
They could do the Thomas Jefferson's, you know, dressing up in the stands.
That has proved very intimidating.
no, I guess it hasn't.
For whatever reason so far. But, you know, they're a 2.5-point favorite. I like Duke to win outright in this game, Greg.
Okay.
You give me Duke 30-28.
Okay. Blake, I picked Duke to win outright as well. I think I like Duke. I think they're on a little bit of a roll now. They've had a couple of wins and a couple of close losses. I like Duke 38-35. I did want to talk about Duke because let's say they win this game against Virginia, which of course is, you know, we don't know if they will or not, but they're already 4-2, so they need two more wins to get that bowl eligibility. And their next opponents are Virginia Tech, NC State, Miami, Wake, and North Carolina.
So they could win three more.
They could. They could. If they win this week, they're not beating Virginia Tech. Most likely. NC State, they could very well beat State.
Yep, they could win that game.
Miami, they're not beating Miami. Wake, they could beat Wake.
Yep.
And they could beat UNC.
Yep,
so,
they could.
So, yeah, you're talking –
I think they beat UNC last year, didn't they?
Yes, they did, and they were ringing that bell. Remember they were ringing the bell?
Yes, the victory bell.
The victory bell, because that was what that was what sent them to the bowl.
Yes.
That was what made them bowl eligible. That was
That's
a sixth
right.
win. And it was the last
bowl,
second.
Sure. Not the belt bowl. Yeah, in Charlotte.
Yeah, that was the last second win, and they were ringing that belt. But anyway, so yeah, Duke's got a good chance to go, let's say, 7-5, but they need this win in order to do that, because if they don't win this, then the margin of error becomes very, very slim as far as bowl eligibility goes, considering
Absolutely.
Who they have left to play. All right, what about Old Dominion and Pitt? And Blake, there was no line for this game. I don't know why. I assume because maybe nobody's interested in even watching this game. I don't know. No, no offense, Old Dominion or Pitt fans.
They forgot they were having this game. I don't know.
that might be. What do you think? No line. Who's winning?
I'd just say no pick then. No, I'm just kidding.
You can't do that.
Yeah, Greg, I don't know. I picked Pitt 42-14, so I picked them to cover the imaginary line.
42-14, did you say?
Yes.
All right, I picked Pitt 34-14. We'll see who's closer.
Yeah, I don't know anything about
Blake, I tell you what, whoever's closer wins the app download between the two of us. How about
okay.
that? Even though it doesn't do you any good.
Well, I still want it.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough. All right, and then finally, Blake, the big one. This is the biggest honestly, Blake, this is the biggest Clemson game since all the way back in week one when Clemson hosted Georgia. But before
it's got the exact same kind of feel to it to me.
But before that, Blake, I mean, you know, it's been 20 years probably since Clemson's had a game like this.
To me, if I think about Clemson and I think about big games at Clemson in my lifetime, you have to go back from these two this year, the Georgia game and then now this game.
Right.
I go back to 1988, Clemson, Florida State. To me, that's the biggest. You know, Deion Sanders and Danny Ford and that crew back in Bobby Bowden and all those guys back in those days. That's where I go back to, 1988, because that was two top 10 teams playing, and Clemson back then was, I think they were number three in the country that game, too.
Yeah, so there is a lot at stake here. Obviously, the winner of this game has.
You know, will we see a punt Ruski in this game?
Oh, gosh. Will we? I mean, will we.
Later.
yeah, it might be. Yeah, you're right. You're right. This is probably as big a game. This is that's probably a good comparison to make. So the winner of this game obviously has a pretty clear path, barring anything odd happening. To the ACC championship in Charlotte.
Yes.
So the winner here obviously is a favorite to win the Atlantic, and it's going to be tough. I don't see either Clemson or Florida State losing two more after this game, or maybe even one more after.
No,
this game.
Has. Look, we gotta also say this too. This has national implications because this game. I mean, the winner of this game, all of a sudden now they can think, hey, look, we got a chance to actually go undefeated. You know, I mean, you can start, and of course, there's a lot more games to be played, but. You can actually start talking about the winner of this game with having a chance to play in the BCS championship game. You can, and you hate that you do that so early, but at the same time, their schedules, there's not a lot of landmines for either team after this game. It's
no, there's not. I mean, Florida State's still got to play Florida, but we've seen Florida, and Florida's very beatable this year.
And Florida State's got to play Miami, too.
Yeah, Florida State's got to play Miami. And then Clemson, of course, there's really not much for Clemson after that. There is Maryland, I think, that's next week.
Yeah, tricky Maryland game on the road, then South Carolina on the road. And
South Carolina's the big one. And then, of course, you got, you know, if Clemson does win this game, then you've got the ACC championship game, which could be against probably either Miami or Virginia Tech. We'll see how that.
Yeah, and both have that too. Florida State's got that same
right.
There. So I mean, yeah, but it's national implications for sure. You know, it's gonna be 82,400, whatever that place holds. I don't know.
I would imagine, Blake, that this will be the attendance record. This will set it because the attendance record.
85?
The attendance record, as I know it, was set at the very first Bowden Bowl in '99. And that was something right around 85, and I can't imagine why more people wouldn't show up to this game than that one. So
yeah.
I really do think this will set the attendance record, and I've heard that Clemson officials are trying to get the Guinness World Record, not the Guinness beer, maybe them too, but the World Record people to come down and measure the noise to see if Clemson can set some kind of noise record. For those.
Yeah, I think it's kind of silly. I don't.
It probably is, but I mean that just goes to show you how big this game and how you know they're not gonna do this.
Well, we know it's a big game. I think that's a little bit. I mean, come on. It's a noisy stadium. We know it is. I've been there. It's very deafening. And you know, you throw in the fact that it's a big game like this, it'll be an extremely tough place to play. So we know, you know, Guinness there or not. We know Clemson's a very, very loud stadium. And we know Florida State's a good football team. We know Clemson's a good football team. So how do you win this game, Greg? For me, it comes down to – I mean, you talk about matchups if you want to. And, yeah, there are a lot of them that that go either way, really. But for me, it's that home field. It's 80,000 – I mean, 85,000 fans, and it's all orange. It's at night, which is a big advantage, too. I like Clemson to win this game on a Catanzaro field goal to win it 31-28.
That's exactly my prediction.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I swear it is.
Is it with a last-second field goal?
I didn't even think about what the final play would be.
Last-second 42-yard field goal to win the game 31-28.
But we didn't even talk about Florida State is a three-point favorite.
It shocks me.
It shocks me, too. It's always very hard for me, Blake, to pick the home team or to not pick the home team as an underdog. It's very tough for me in a close game like this.
Yeah, I mean, me too. And the fact that, I mean, Clemson's ranked third and what, early sixth? Is that what it is?
Fifth, I think. Third and fifth.
Yeah, third and fifth, and the fifth-place team is a favorite on the road at night. I don't know. That line will go down. I got to think
about any time. No, actually, it's gone up. It started out 1.5.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Maybe they know what I don't know, but I disagree. I think with Chad Morris, and I think Chad Morris will scheme this game. He's got a lot. He'll run a lot of plays to take advantage of Florida State's speed on defense. Watch him. You know, misdirection, things to take advantage of their over-aggressiveness. I would be surprised if he doesn't. And likewise, Clemson has her hands full with Jameis Winston, who's playing out of his mind as a freshman.
Yes.
Florida State's got the most talented wide receiving I think, you say quartet, I think, in the country. I think they're that good. Their O-line's good. I mean, Winston's he's a great passer. He's mobile. The running backs aren't the best, but they're good enough. You know, and in Clemson, you've got, of course, Taj Boyd, the fifth-year senior, the guy who's, pretty much set every Clemson record in the book, and he's about to set them all, after the season's over with. A good core of wide receivers, and, you know, so, yeah, I would say some good running backs. I would say Florida State's better offensively on paper. But defensively, I like Clemson a little better, honestly, right now. I think Clemson's playing more aggressively and they're at home. So you throw all that out there in the home field, I like Clemson. I'm excited to see it, though.
Yeah, no, I have to pick Clemson because of home field.
Same with me, too.
If this were neutral or if it's at Tallahassee, it'd be a whole lot tougher for me to pick Clemson.
Yeah.
But it's home field. And I agree with you. I like your points. I think some of the biggest things we'll see are, first of all, kind of like we talked about earlier, first couple of drives, is Clemson in rhythm? Are they clicking? If they're clicking, then, you know, obviously Clemson's a very different team than they are, like, against Boston College, for instance, when they had a few stalls and fumbles and missed field goals and things like that. So that and, Blake, you know, this is the first real road test for Jameis Winston. He went on the road to Pitt, and he's gone on the road a couple other places, I think.
Yeah, this is his first test.
This is his first test.
He's a redshirt freshman, and this is going to be a big one.
Right. And so will he be able to handle the crowd noise, not only just crowd noise, but the intimidating environment and the noise as well, you know, with snap counts and things like that? Will he be able to call audibles, and will that be a problem for not only him, but the entire offense? But will, you know, we haven't seen him come even close to being rattled yet. And that's one of the things I like most about him, is he's very poised. Will we see a little chink in the armor this week at a real hostile environment? And that's going to be the big thing. If he gets a little bit rattled, I mean, we haven't seen what Florida State does if he's a little rattled. We haven't seen that yet. So if he gets a little rattled, it'll be interesting to see. So to me, Clemson's first couple of drives are big, and can they get under Jameis Winston's skin, either with just crowd noise or, you know, a few high pressure situations, whether it's blitzes or just breaking through the line. I gotta go with Clemson, and I like your pick, like 31-28.
I like yours too. And I got a couple key players to watch.
Okay.
For Clemson, I say Adam Humphries, because
he's been showing out, hasn't he?
Yeah, and they need a guy who, a sure-handed guy on the third and fives. You know, this year Clemson, they got the tight end number 81, but he doesn't scare you. To me, he doesn't scare me if I'm a defense. He's solid, but he's not Dwayne Allen. He's not Brandon Ford. He's not that good. So I think Humphries might take that role this game as a slot third down guy who, when it's third and six, you know, Tajboy wants to move the chains, he might look for number 13. I'm curious. I think that's a big-time factor for Clemson is, you know, the way Humphries plays. And for Florida State, I think Nick O'Leary at tight end. He's a good tight end. Can Clemson match up with him on third down? I think those are two key guys to watch on third down for those third and five, third and sixes, to see if they can get open and see if they can move the chains, both those guys.
Interesting. Good insights. I think it's going to be really exciting. Blake, unfortunately, I think you're going to have to sit through probably another 8 minutes of them showing the buses coming around and then them going down the hill like they did against Georgia. I see no reason why they won't do that again. And you know, Herb Street's calling the game, so you know he'll probably request that they do that. It's Musburger and Herb Street. So Musburger will be heading to the SO probably before and after the game. All you Clemson fans who are thinking about going to the game, you probably run into him at the SO Club. It'll be
sober.
Yeah. So far, the weather prediction looks pretty good. It looks like it's going to be a perfect evening for football. It'll be really interesting to see. It'll be really exciting. And, hey, it's game day's second trip to Clemson this season. I don't think they've ever done that before. But you also have to consider this is only the third time they've ever been to Clemson in the show's history. So, you know, I guess it all averages
so
out.
Twice this year against Georgia Tech in 06? Is that the only
– Yeah, that's it. That's the only time. Wow. That was the first time in 06, that they'd ever come to Clemson. Against Georgia, of course, how could you not go to that game? And then now, of course, the Florida State game. Biggest game going on this weekend by far, it seems. And let me ask you one more question, Blake. If Clemson wins this game, do they deserve to be number two in the nation? It's hard to put them at number one.
Who's number two now? Oregon?
Oregon.
I don't have a problem with it, Greg. If they do win this game, I don't have a problem with it. But I think if they do win this game and they're number two and Oregon keeps winning and Clemson keeps winning, I think Clemson will actually eventually fall back to number three because their schedule gets kind of weaker over the next few weeks. So, I mean, look, it's like I tell Clemson fans this. You keep winning, it'll take care of itself. Right? The rankings will take care of themselves if you keep winning, period.
I think it'll be interesting to see if Clemson does pull it out. That would be two wins over top five teams in the same season, in the first half of the season. I don't know if you're taking into account strength of schedule, I don't know how you can get much better than that. Now, granted, both wins would be at home, and like you said, the schedule does get weaker as the season goes along until South Carolina, that last game. But I think it would be interesting to see. I don't know what the pollsters would do with Clemson if Clemson ended up winning this game. But, hey, of course – I'm pulling for Clemson. I don't know about you. You don't have to say, of course, who you're pulling for. But,
I'm gonna watch the game.
You're gonna watch the game. Are you pulling for whoever wins?
Well, I've got mixed emotions.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to get too into that. We'll leave it at that. All right, listeners. Yeah. We appreciate you downloading. We appreciate you listening. Again, send us your response to the trade question. Pick whoever your favorite team is. If you could pick one offensive player and one defensive player from any other teams in the ACC to have on your team, who would they be and why? Send us those answers to BlakeandGreg@yahoo.com, and you can win a free download for a college-themed keyboard for your Android device. Even if you don't have an Android device, If you know somebody who would like this, make a really good gift, and it's free for you, so you know you might as well do it. And like I said, I've got it. I really enjoy it. It's a whole lot better than the keyboard that came with my phone. So send those over to us. We look forward to reading those. Look forward to going through and seeing what you guys have to say. Blake, it was fun.
Greg, you're forgetting something.
What's that?
Power rankings.
Oh my gosh, I almost forgot the power rankings.
Well, I tell you what, I'm sorry, listeners. My brother's so excited about the game Saturday that his mind's not working right.
I'm ready to just go ahead and get started tailgating, Blake.
He's already ready to tailgate with, you know, like the LSU fans. They start like on Wednesday when they play Saturday. So,
you're right. We did forget to do power rankings. So let's start. I've got them right here. I just overlooked them. All right. Well, who do you got picking up the rear of the ACC?
I got the Wolfpack.
Coming in dead last.
Dead last right now, Greg.
Yeah, it was tough for me. I didn't put them last. I put them next to last. I'll go ahead and tell you mine. I got Virginia last. I got NC State next to last. Who do you got?
I got them flipped. I got Virginia 13th.
Okay, fair enough. Who you got 12?
Wake.
I got North Carolina. I got Wake 11. Who do you got?
I got UNC 11.
Okay, so we got those flipped as well. Yep. All right, 10th.
I got Duke.
I got Georgia Tech at 10th.
Wow.
Yeah. They, you know, Blake, they're 0-3 in conference. They just haven't done anything yet for me to really say they're a strong team in the ACC. Who do you got, number 9?
I got Syracuse.
Let's see. I got Boston College.
Okay. Who do you got at 8?
I got Syracuse.
Who do you got? I got Boston College.
Okay. All right. Next, who do you got?
I got Pitt at 7.
I got Duke at 7.
Wow.
Yeah. Who you got at 6?
Georgia Tech.
I got Pitt.
Wow.
Yeah, we're way off on these.
Yeah, we are.
All right, and 5th?
Maryland.
Maryland for me, too. I'm still hoping that with C.J. Brown coming back, they can finish the season strong. Yeah. Number 4?
Va Tech.
Me, too. Number 3?
The U.
Yeah, Dabo's me, too. Dabo's second favorite team.
Whichever, I don't know.
Yeah. So they're in the top 5. We can agree on that. And the number 2, which we'll say it all, who do you got, Blake?
I got Clemson.
You got Clemson number 2 and put Florida State number 1.
Yep.
How do you do that and then pick Clemson to beat Florida State?
Man.
All right, I guess that's fair. I got Florida State number 2. I got Clemson first.
No, man, home field's a big deal. I mean, I'm talking about power rankings on a neutral field is what I talk about.
Okay.
They're playing at Clemson. Florida State hadn't beat Clemson at Clemson since 2001. I'm not
that's
picking them to win this year again. I'm not picking them. I got to take Clemson.
Fair enough, Blake. I can agree with that. So, yeah, interesting. We had most of what we had was pretty similar. We had a few things flipped, but we did have a few things that were off for both of us. But
we did.
Yeah, especially the top 2 spots, which will be interesting to see. We'll have a lot more to say about that next week.
Because if Florida State wins, like I said, I didn't want my power rankings, and if Clemson wins, I picked them anyway.
That's true. You kind of hedged your bets, didn't you?
I did hedge my bet there, I'm sorry about that, listeners, but I'm not.
He's shameless.
I'm really not.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're done now, Blake.
Yep.
All right. We're done now, listeners. So thanks for listening, everybody. Send us your answers to the trade question. You can win a free app from AdaptX, a college-themed app. Like I said, 30, 31 teams, something like that you can pick from. Your favorite team is sure to be on there, unless you're an Old Dominion fan or something like that, as the case would be. So, Blake, can I say it now? It was fun.
Hey, it was a blast. You can go ahead and start tailgating now, Greg.
I can go ahead and start. I think I might, actually. All right. Thanks a lot, brother. It was fun. We'll do this again next week. Thanks, listeners.
Yeah, thank you all.